Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Good evening, everybody. Good evening. This is your friend, Pastor Omar Zachary. We're here at Praise Tabernacle Church, Tuesday night Bible study. And we have a great lesson, a great teacher on tonight. He's pretty much doing a doubleheader. He preached for us on Sunday, and tonight he's going to be leading us in Bible study. We want to thank the panel, those that are able to be on tonight. We will have a few that will be missing, including me and my wife. I just wanted to open up tonight. Our baby has a baseball game kicking off in a few minutes, so we definitely don't want to be a distraction to the panel and to our teacher. Also, I think Sister Tober has some prior obligations, and I think Deacon Stanton is working. So we just thank y'all for tuning in tonight, and we already know that you're going to be blessed by the word. Our teacher is going to be teaching on tonight is going to be great. I already got a little highlight, a little brief synopsis of it, and I know you're going to be blessed on tonight. So we're going to say a quick word of prayer, and then the next voice you hear will be our teacher, our first administrative assistant in our local church, Mr. Chaos himself, Elder Derek Oliver. Well-versed and well-capable of leading the study on tonight. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we just want to thank you. We thank you for this day. This is the day that you have made and told us to rejoice and be glad in it. And we've done such. We are glad in it. We rejoice, and we just thank you for your grace and your mercy shown towards us. And God, as we get ready to enter into this Bible study, we pray that you will anoint our teacher, give him the words, put the word in his heart, in his mind, that he can lead your people on tonight, that he can be a blessing on to somebody on tonight that's listening all over the world. If someone will repent, someone will give their life to Jesus, and someone will be healed and delivered through the gospel on tonight. And God, we just thank you for this opportunity. Bless these your people, and we give your name the glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Elder Oliver, the service is in your hands. God bless.
Thank you, Bishop. Appreciate it. Can everybody hear me? I just want to make sure that my mic is good. Okay,
yes, we hear.
Good. All right. Good. I just want to thank the Lord for the Bishop being with us and entrusting me with the Bible study on tonight. Thank all those that always listen in on every Tuesday night. We appreciate you. Wherever you're at, whatever you're doing, you could be doing something else. But thank the Lord that you'll be able to listen to the word tonight. I am blessed. Tonight, I'm going to get started. I'm going to read the scripture. Hopefully my wife is available. I'm going to have her read. If you have your Bibles, Mark 10, the 10th chapter, verses 46 to 52. And I'm going to have her read it. And then I'm going to walk you through how I want it to go. And then that's what we're going to do for right now. So if you have your Bibles, go to Mark chapter 10, verse 46 to 52. And I want to thank my wife for being on doing this for me. She is at work right now, so I only have her for a few seconds. So I'm going to have her read this. So if you have your Bibles, Mark the 10th chapter. And I'm going to start with the 46th. She's going to start with the 46th verse, if she's there.
Then they reached Jericho, and as Jesus and his disciples left town, a large crowd followed him. A blind beggar named Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, was sitting beside the road. When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was nearby, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." "Be quiet," many of the people yelled at him, but he only shouted louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." When Jesus heard him, he stopped and said, "Tell him to come here." So they called the blind man. "Cheer up," they said. "Come on, he's calling you." Bartimaeus threw aside his coat, jumped up, and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked. "My rabbi," the blind man said, "I want to see." And Jesus said to him, "Go, for your faith has healed you." Instantly the man could see, and he followed Jesus down the road.
Thank you, wife. Appreciate it. Tonight I want to, if I would use a title, is Screaming for a Reason. Screaming for a Reason. And one of the things before I get into this, I just want to give a short testimony on tonight. You know, I actually had something else to teach. I really did. But yesterday I was going to the eye doctor, and just a normal eye doctor, wasn't no specialist, because you know, if you've been following us, you know that I lost vision in my left eye. And I had what they call a CVA, which is a stroke in the eye, which caused my eye to lose vision in the left eye. So I'm going to the doctors, and I happen to go to Walmart, to their vision center on Collins Hills, and one of my wife's friends from her former church was there, and I seen her, recognized her. I forgot her name, but she told me who she was, and I said, "Hey, how you doing?" And she was taking care of me at the time and asking me about my eye and everything. I'm going to try to make this quick. And so when she took all my information down, I told her about what happened with my eye. She said, "Oh, okay." She's going to let the doctor know. So the doctor comes out. He gets all my information, and he tells me to come with him. And he was intrigued by what had happened to my eye. He said, "Let me do something." He put me this device up. Now, he's just a regular, he's not a specialist, just a regular eye doctor. And he said, "Open, keep your eye open. You're going to feel some air or something." And when he did it, it startled me, and I screamed, "Jesus." He handed me a tissue, told me, "Sit back, wipe your eye." It wasn't no water, anything came out. It just startled me because, you know, I didn't know what was going on. So, you know, I didn't scream loud, but that's what came out of my mouth. And immediately after he gave me the tissue, you know, I don't know why I patted my eye with the tissue, but I did. And then the vision was different than what it was before. Before, it was just a blur and black dot. Now it seemed like I could make out what was in front of me. It wasn't a perfect 20/20 vision. It was just a little blurry, but I could see objects which I couldn't see before. And it shocked me that it happened in just that instance. And I was intrigued by that because, you know, they're telling me I got to have surgery at the end of the month. And this man just, for whatever the reason was, I don't know if it's because I seen one of my wife's friends or friend of my wife's who she went to church with, and when she said, "Praise the Lord," and we had a conversation, I don't know what happened in this sense. Why did it happen right there? And it took me to a whole nother level because I'm trying to see now, and I'm working on my eye. I'm trying to make it, you know, tap it, make it work better than what it did. Went through the eye exam, and now I'm excited. I didn't say nothing to my wife. I ain't say nothing to no one because I'm just at all how that happened that quick, that fast, all of a sudden. And I don't know if it's because I said Jesus. I don't know. I don't know. All I know is the man did what he did. I said what I said. The next thing I know, I have a little bit of my vision back, a little bit of the vision back. And it just startled me for a minute. So I came home. I didn't say nothing to my wife. I just started studying. And I went and I pulled up this passage of scripture. It was not planned to be taught tonight, but I'm going to teach it because I feel the Holy Spirit is telling me to teach it. So this is where we got this from yesterday. Prior to me going to the eye doctor, Deacon Stanton had called me, and I told him I was on my way to the doctor. Now, he plays a big part in this because he said, "You're going to the doctor? Yeah, hope they pray everything good." I said, "Fine, fine." I'm at the doctor. Now, this happens to me, so I'm just at home, and I'm in awe about what's happening, and I'm still playing with my eye, and I'm trying to figure out what's going on. I'm reading this scripture. And I'm not even thinking about Bible study on today. I'm not thinking about it. It didn't even cross my mind. So, you know, in the little group chat we got, Deacon Stanton, same deacon who I went to the doctor, asking, "I need the scriptures for tomorrow night so I can get studying on it." And everyone that knows that when I teach, I don't normally turn my scriptures into the last minute because I don't never know what I'm teaching. But as I'm studying this and he wants the scriptures, I'm like, I got to make a decision. Do I do what I already got prepared or do I just do this? So I just went with what I got, where we read right now. I preached this before, but I never taught it because there's some things in there in these few scriptures that we're going to read that just came into life in me. I'm still excited. Put the scriptures out. I'm studying. And I see something. So I said, let me call, because it's about 9:30, 10 o'clock. My wife had to go to bed early, so she went to bed. So I called Minister Tobert. And I asked Minister Tobert to check something out for me. Could he find something? Because I'm looking, and I don't see it nowhere in the Bible. So I had to call Minister Tobert. Now I'm excited by what I'm reading. So I had to call someone. So after I get off the phone with Minister Tobert, I go upstairs and I wake my wife up because she had to get up early in the morning and take care, go to the doctor in Atlanta with her daughter. So I woke her up and I asked her, does this make sense? Still ain't told her I could see out of my eye. Ain't said nothing. And just, I was excited about the word of God. So this is where I got screaming for a reason, because I just feel like that's what the Lord wanted me to teach. So yeah, I got a little bit of my vision back. So I just want to thank the Lord for being a blessing to have that. And when I say that, that's why when I read this, Mark 10, 46 to 52, I just want to highlight a few things. And I have the King James Version, which I'm looking at. And one of the things that blind Bartimaeus, I just want to point out about him, is the fact of the disrespect as them calling him blind Bartimaeus. It's disrespect because they called him by his condition and not by his name. They put the condition in front of his name. To me, that's a sign of disrespect when you do that. His name was Bartimaeus, but they had to say blind Bartimaeus. They already know he was blind. And also, he was a beggar, and he was begging people for stuff. He was on the side of the road begging for stuff. And one of the things that I like about this is the fact that it says in the Bible that he heard that Jesus was passing through. Now, I want you to picture this. The blind man, who no one respected, because they didn't call him by his name. He was a beggar, so he was begging folks for stuff. I want you to see right there in 46, him begging for things. And it says in verse 47, let me make sure I got it right, 47, that he heard that Jesus was coming through. Now, he couldn't see, but he heard. And that's very important, because a lot of times we be places and we hear everything but the right thing. And when he heard that Jesus was coming, something happened. He started to scream out, Jesus, the Son of David, have mercy on me. And there it goes again. He was crying. He heard. And because he heard Jesus was coming, he just didn't want to be a hearer. He wanted to react. How did he react? He reacted by calling on Jesus to have mercy. We know mercy is a form of forgiveness. So he was asking Jesus to forgive him for whatever he had done because of the situation. He heard Jesus was coming by. He wasn't just going to be a hearer, but he wanted to holler out, Jesus, have mercy on me. In other words, he was saying, Jesus, forgive me. And if you look in verse 48, the people told him to be quiet. They told him, settle down, don't say nothing else. And here it is, a man that they was already disrespecting by calling him blind and not calling him by his name, put his condition before his name. And then they're going to tell him to be quiet because he was asking for forgiveness to Jesus. A group of people telling him to be quiet because all he was screaming was, have mercy. We know mercy means forgiveness on me. And what I like about that is when I read this and I get this, it just falls in line. And I fall in love with this all over again because there's the blind man who's being disrespected by people that ought to be cheering him on, helping him, and yet they want to call him blind. In other words, call him out his name. And we know a lot of people that call us out of our name. They call us everything but a child of God. And just put yourself in that position. Okay, you may not be a beggar. Maybe they call you too holy. Maybe they say you got too much. People will call you out your name. And that's what was going on with him. And not only did they call him out his name, but when he heard, he responded because he heard Jesus was coming by. What we have to do sometime, and it's right there in the text, we have to respond when we hear Jesus' name. Not just hear it and just be hearers of it, but we got to be a doer and have action when we hear his name. And that's what he did. He heard, and then he started to cry out for forgiveness. And when you start to cry out for forgiveness, I'm going to stop right there. Anybody want to add anything before I keep going?
I would just like to add that, first off, great message so far. Great testimony to connect the dots with the message. And definitely glad to hear that, you know, you're receiving some of your sight back. So that's a good thing in itself. And, you know, you being obedient by definitely choosing this scripture because it connects in a certain way and brings the text, you know, more to life. So definitely that's a good thing. But also, you know, I just want to say about this lesson in particular, like how you pointed out that the man heard about Jesus and began to cry out, you know. So those, like you said, that's understanding the power of Christ, understanding what he can do for you. And when you know what God can do, then when the opportunity presents itself, that's when you have to go all out. You know, there's no time to try to, you know, beat you with or anything like that. If you understand that you're in a situation, you're in a position of need, and you know someone that can help fill the need, then you got to do what you got to do in order to get it done. That's just like what, you know, in a different sense, like how you brought out on Sunday about bringing something to the table. And, you know, Jesus already got it set aside for you, but you got to bring something to the table. So you got to do your part. So he ended up doing his part by at least speaking to the Lord and knowing, hey, this is Jesus. He could do something for me. So when you recognize that the power of God and what Jesus can do for you, you got to understand that he's the one that you got to run to be able to resolve your issues. So, you know, like I said, good word, just a good job so far, and I just wanted to be able to add a little bit to it. I'll have more later, but just a good word. Thank you.
Thank you, Minister Tover. Appreciate it. Anyone else? If not, I'm going to keep it moving because, you know, in verse, first of all, I just want to reiterate, thanks again, Minister Tover, that when the man heard Jesus, he started to scream. And see, when I say I'm screaming for a reason, because a lot of times we go to church, and yeah, I'm going to talk about church folks for a minute, we're screaming, but we have no reason. We're just screaming to be screaming. And there was a lot of people around Jesus that day probably that were screaming, but this man needed something from Jesus. And I was sharing, I shared this story with the Minister Tober last night. I shared it with my wife. But my wife, you know, when I first got married to her and I moved in, you know, she has girls and they love to scream, you know, and they scream loud. It's like something's wrong. That's how loud they scream. And it used to terrify me because I used to think and jump up like something was wrong. And my wife never broke her stride because she knew her child's scream. She knew it. And then there was a time where they screamed. It sounded the same to me, but she knew the voice of her child, and she knew that her child was screaming out for attention, that she needed her. It wasn't her playing. It was a scream. Now, to me, it sounded the same, but because that was her daughter, she recognized the scream of her child so she could go see what was going on, because she was screaming to get her attention. And see, I know a lot of y'all, if you have kids, and a lot of times if you put them in the yard or put them in the room, they're screaming, they're yelling, they're making a whole lot of noise, but there's a certain scream that you hear your child, you know that he's in trouble, and you want to go see what is going on. And you see what I'm talking about, because a lot of people come to church on Sunday morning, and they're screaming, and they're yelling, and they're hollering. They just make a noise. They're just playing. But when you're trying to get the attention of someone that has authority that can change the situation, well, look what Jesus does. This man is screaming, saying, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And when the crowd tried to tell him to be quiet, he even got louder. And then what I like in verse 49, it says, "And Jesus stood still." And there's nowhere else in the Bible where you will see those words, "Jesus stood still." I've been looking for it all day for the last 2 days. I ain't been able to find it yet. Jesus stood still because he heard one of his children screaming his name, and he knew that he had an issue. And he stopped and said, "Go get him and bring him to me." He commanded for him to come to him. And a lot of times when we scream Jesus' name and we need something from him, he's going to stop in stride and stand still and have you come to him. And then Jesus said, "What do you want me to do for you? What can I do for you?" Jesus is asking a question. Now, this man is blind. He's poor because he's begging. And look at the question. And Jesus said, Jesus summons for him to come to him. And in front of Jesus, he said, "What can I do for you?" And the man said, "Can I get my sight?" And see, this is the thing that I love about Jesus, because when he hears you with a sincere heart and when he hears you with a sincere cry and being sincere, he will stop and make you his priority. And if you've never felt that before, because this was a funny feeling with me when I said certain things, Jesus healed me from cancer. So I know that he can heal. But this is the first time I felt something like this ever happen to me. And as I was sharing this with my wife, she had shared a story, not to tell her business, but she said that one time back in Ohio, where we used to live a long time ago when she was a teenager, she was driving and her blood count dropped and she passed out. And there was this road and she ran off the road. And then where she ran off to was to this lake. And there's been a lot of bad crashes over the years. Even to this day, a lot of people, when they say Lover's Lane in Warren, Ohio, they know that if you come around that curb a certain way, you lose control. You're going right into the river. And she said she lost control of her car, and she was going to the river. And when she woke up, the car was going down, and she said, "Jesus." And all of a sudden, the car stopped. Now, I've heard other incidents with different situations where that has happened. And this was the first time this has ever happened to me, because when I said Jesus, it was like, wow, something happened. I don't know. I guess when you call upon that name, there is power when you call upon that name. He will respond. He will stop and give you what you need. And as part of me being obedient, teaching this tonight, because I did say I'm seeing a lot better than I was before. It's not a blur. I can see certain things. If I look long enough, you know, give myself a headache, but I'm starting to make things out better. And it's a blessing to me, because when you call upon that name, Jesus will immediately, like he did this man, gave him his sight. But I don't want to just talk about his physical sight. I also want to talk about his spiritual sight, because there's another aspect to this as well. It's just not about what he can do for you on the natural. It's also about what he can do for you on the spiritual. Because Jesus called this man, and this man, he asked, "What do you want?" Now, you got to understand something. This man, and it's stated out in 46 and 47 that he was a beggar. So he didn't have no money. He was disrespected. He couldn't see. So he could have asked Jesus to give him a bunch of money so he wouldn't have to beg no more. And see, hopefully you know where I'm going with this. But he didn't. He asked Jesus for his vision, his sight, physically. And if I'm wrong, I'm quite sure someone will correct me, but I also think spiritually. Because some of us have our sight physically, but spiritually we're blind. We have no vision. And I believe in Proverbs it says, without a vision, my people perish because they don't have a vision. Sometimes that's spiritual vision. You don't have a clue. You're blind. Excuse me. But I do think this is a good time. I'm going to ask anyone if they have any comments real quick, and I'm going to continue on. Anyone have any comments? If not, I'm going to turn it over to
Minister. Good job so far. Good job.
Thank you. I'm going to turn it over to you to go ahead and take the offering so I don't forget. Then why it's fresh on my brain.
Okay, no, that's no problem. That's no problem. Like I say, it's definitely a great lesson so far. And saints, for those that are listening right now, as you all know, we like to do a lot of work with the community, and we have our extended arms, and they begin to give out food, and that's our ministry. As Pastor says, we may have a small church, but a huge ministry. So we like to do different things in our community. And for those that are listening, if you would like to be able to help, there's many ways to do so. And I will let you know the information right now. If you would like to give to the Extended Arms by Cash App, that would be $EA Ministry. That is $EAMINISTRY. So that is for our Extended Arms Ministry, for our community outreach, to be able to do the different things that we've been able to do and support in the community. And also, the church Cash App is $PTC877. Again, $PTC877. For those that would like to just be a part and be a blessing unto the church, to be able to continue to do what we've been doing and doing a great work. And we just appreciate any donations. Like we say, it doesn't have to be anything major, anything, whatever. It all goes to a good cause. So does a dollar help? Does $2 help? $10, $5? Yes. Does $20 help? All of it help to be able to help in the community. So we will appreciate any offering that anyone has. Thank you all so much for tuning in. Thank you for listening. And I will give it back to Elder Oliver to continue with the Bible study at this point. Thank you all.
Amen. Oh, thank you, Minister Tobert. Appreciate that. And thank all those that can give on tonight, whether you give the Extended Arms or Praise Tabernacle Church. We appreciate it. But if you're just now tuning with us, I'm coming out of Mark 10, the 46th chapter to the 52. Mark 10, 46 to 52. And one of the things I wanted to give out there in 49, it says, and Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. You know, he stood still. He stopped. He made this a priority. When you call on Jesus, you become his priority. He will stop and stand still and call for you to come to him. But in verse 50, what I like about verse 50 is it said he cast away his garment. He threw away the old. He didn't take that old stuff with him to see Jesus. He asked. He heard that he was coming through. He heard it. He responded by hearing it, by what? Asking Jesus to forgive him, have mercy on him. And then when Jesus, in verse 50, it says that he took off his old stuff and cast it aside. When you got to cast aside that old stuff when you go in front of Jesus, you got to have a sincere heart. You got to call upon him, scream upon him, however you want to say it, and be loud and have a pure heart. And then when you go before him, you can't take all that junk with you. You can't take all the gossip, the lying. You can't take that before him. You got to cast that aside because he's going to ask a question, what do you want me to do? Now, at this point, I believe that this man was so fed up, he wanted Jesus to change his life. And he asked for forgiveness, and then he heard the question Jesus asked him, what can I do for you? And that's the question that when you get to a point, you ask for forgiveness, you heard he was coming by, you responded, you took all the old stuff, you threw it to the side. Then when he asked the question, what can I do for you? He said, can I get my sight? And see, to me, that's a shout for me. I could preach that because he did everything the way that it was supposed to have been done. And what I want to show and what I want to talk about a little bit is because we go to church and people probably say, Oliver, that's all it takes is for us to be loud and scream. Truth of the matter, if you're being honest and you're coming from a sincere heart, that's all it takes. That's all it takes. That's all he did. He had a sincere heart, and he was sincere by what he was doing. And not only that, but he took the garment, the old, threw it aside, and Jesus said in verse 51, he said that the man asked, Jesus asked him, what can I do? And he said, might I receive my sight? And then Jesus said in verse 52, said unto him, go thy way, for thy faith has made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. So what I want to say is the fact that there's a lot in there. And it says, and Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. What I like about that, Minister Tobin, is the fact that he got his sight, and then he followed Jesus. He didn't get his sight and leave Jesus. He didn't get his sight and did something totally different. It said he got his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Now, this is what I'm talking about, spiritual sight and physical sight. He got his physical sight so he could see Jesus and he could follow Jesus, but he also got his spiritual sight so he can follow Jesus and walk behind Jesus spiritually. Physically and spiritually, he got his sight. And some of us are walking around here with perfect 20/20 vision and as blind as his bat when it comes to spiritually. And what I mean by that, some of the people that was telling him back in 48 to be quiet and sit down, they were spiritually blind because they didn't have sight to see that if he was to tell Jesus and the power that Jesus had that he could be resurrected, why would they tell him to sit down? So a lot of times, we even though that we have perfect sight, some people who don't have no sight can see better than people that have sight because they have a vision of Christ and they know what Christ can do. They may not have physical sight, but they have spiritual sight. And when I see this man blind by the man, yeah, he was blind. He got his physical sight, but it also said he followed him and he followed Jesus as well. I'm thinking that's spiritual sight. He's followed him spiritually. He heard about him, and not only did he hear about him, when he heard about him, he was a what? He did exactly what we're supposed to do. When you hear the word, don't just be hearers of the word, but be doers of the word. He did something. He hollered and cried out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy. He asked him for forgiveness. And then when he asked for forgiveness, he took it a step further. When the people told him to be quiet, he got even louder because he knew that when Jesus come, Jesus could give him what he want. Jesus stood still, and this is powerful to me. And it immediately it said he received his sight because he had a pure heart, and he was screaming for a reason. A lot of times, church folks, we scream for no reason. We scream for no reason whatsoever. We're just screaming just to be making noise. And when we do that, that's not a good thing. It's not a good thing. And that's what I'm trying to get you to see. A lot of times we scream and we yell just to be screaming and yelling. We hoop and we holler just to be hooping and hollering. But Jesus don't never hear you because it's not sincere. We either putting on a show or we faking the funk. But when you're serious about that man named Jesus, when you're serious about it and you have a vision, and see, this man could already see when he got up and went over there because it didn't say he needed help to go to Jesus. When he went to Jesus and Jesus said immediately he was able to see. After he threw all that stuff to the side, Jesus said, what can I do for you? He said, give me my vision. And when he got his vision, immediately he started to follow Jesus. And that's what we got to start doing in the church. We're living in an age where we think hooping and hollering is all good, but we're hooping and hollering and yelling and screaming, but we're not screaming Jesus for with a pure heart. Because when you do it from a pure heart, he's going to stop, and he's going to summon you to come to him, and he's going to ask a question. And all I'm trying to get for you to see tonight is, what's the question? What do you want Jesus to do for you? And a lot of times we ask Jesus to do these miracle things, and we do it, and we stop following him until we need him again. And then he'll bless us again, give us a miracle again, and then we'll stop following him. And then you wonder why you get so bundled up or built up in difficult situations, because you're not following Jesus. You're not following him spiritually until you get into a situation where you just get tired of being tired and you want to scream. And a lot of it is, you know, you'll go to him and you'll get what you want from him, and then you go right back to doing what you want to do. And see, what I'm trying to get everyone to see tonight is, when you go to the Lord and you go to him with a pure heart and you start to follow him like this man did, immediately he got his sight and he started to follow Jesus. There's a lot of us that God has blessed us. As soon as he blesses us, we stop following him. I don't mean you stop coming to church, but you stop being sincere with your screams. You're just screaming for show. But when you really need Jesus and you really scream and cry out to him, he's going to stop, because you're his child and he's trying to make you do better. And you're going to throw away all that stuff that's been keeping you begging for stuff. And what I mean by begging, stuff that's not in the will of God or not in the will of your life, but you keep running to. This man was tired of being on the side of the road. He was tired of being disrespected. He was tired. So when he heard that Jesus was coming through, see, this is where the word comes in for us at. Because when we hear a word, we ought not just be hearers of the word, we ought to be doers of the word. And being a doer of the word is going to cause us to respond, to do something for Christ. And like I said Sunday, when I said we some of us need to repent. Some of us need to ask for deliverance. We need to do something to get his attention so he can stop and deal with us right where we're at. And when he does do it and gives you your sight, it's for us to keep following him day after day. Every situation ought to be a situation where we're screaming for Jesus to help us. Help us love better. Some of us ain't got a problem with loving, but we need to ask Jesus to help us love better. Help us love more. Some of us don't have a problem with gossiping, but yet we're not fellowshipping and encouraging people more. We need to ask God to give us that so we can do it more. And see, a lot of times we think because we do it every now and then is good. That's not good. That's not good enough. He wants us to follow his footsteps and do it consistently, constantly, all the time. Well, Elder Oliver, do you do it all the time? No, that's why I'm preaching this to myself. I got to do it consistently, all the time, so I don't get in a rut that I got to keep screaming, you know, and get fed up. He wants us to follow him in truth, like this beggar did. But all them people that was around Jesus, and some of them was telling him to sit down, stop making noise. And then I got to thinking about that. How can you tell someone to sit down when they're asking for forgiveness? And I thought about that, and it's deep. And I'm going to ask for questions in the next few minutes, but it's deep that they told him to sit down and be quiet, and all he was doing was screaming, have mercy on me, forgive me for not doing the right thing. And I got to thinking about that. That sounds like church folks. When we're asking God to forgive us and we're trying to do the right thing, people want to sit you down. People want to tell you to be quiet. Don't do that. Don't say that. And yet, I wondered about that. Think about that for a minute. Why did they tell him to be quiet? And all he was doing was asking for forgiveness. Have you ever been told to be quiet in church and all you wanted to do was do the right thing? And yet people keep telling you to be quiet? I got news for you. those people telling you to be quiet, just my opinion, I'm opening up for questions. That's the devil. If you're doing the right thing and people telling you to be quiet, sit down, shut up. Why would they want to tell you to shut up and all you're trying to do is follow Jesus? All you're trying to do is get your vision spiritually and follow him. And I got to thinking about that. And it came to me right before I came on the air. Everyone tries to come at me. Not everyone. People will try to come at me when something good happens or tell you or try to diminish what's going on in Christ. You know, I'm in a good place in Christ right now. I love where I'm at. I'm learning a lot. I'm getting chastised a lot, but that's a good thing because I'm learning from my mistakes. And people will give you their opinion. Watch this, watch that. That ain't right, that ain't right. But spiritually, I'm in a great place in the Lord. Why do they want me not to keep becoming great when everything that around me spiritually is going good? And I know I got issues in my home, but the issues in my home isn't because we live in wrong or we're sinning. Now, there's been some times we slipped up, we messed up, but it's because the Lord has taken us to a new level. And when you go to a new level, you're going to get exposed so you can get it cleaned up. So when you get to that new level, he will help you so you can keep following him. Everything isn't going to be done perfect because we're not perfect. But yet, when you get exposed, you just ask God to forgive you to get you to the next level. So when you get to the next level, the devil's going to come even harder. That's why they didn't want this man to get up, because he was going to another level. And it was time to tell him to be quiet and keep you in bondage, keep you where you're at. But I got news for the devil. I'm going to another level. And for the first time in my life, I said Jesus, and I felt his power. And when I say it traumatized me in a good way, it traumatized me in a good way. I wasn't going to bring up Sunday's message, which I preached on Sunday. But when I was at the altar and I was raising my hand, asking God to forgive me, asking God to touch my body, and then all of a sudden, a few hours later, he does it immediately. And the only thing I can say is Jesus. That's powerful. So what I'm telling you is, if you have a sincere heart, and you can throw away your old garments and go to him. And when he asks a question and you stand there naked, truth, he will heal you. He will bless you. He will take you to another level. Anyone have any comments right now?
Elder Oliver, I have a comment. I just wanted to see if someone else was going to say something. I don't want to take up all the time, but I do have a comment. Before I say anything, was there anybody else? This would be the time to go in front of me if you got something to say. If not, I'll go ahead. Okay. All right. So, like I say, good job, man. I'm definitely learning a whole lot to bring out of this, and I just like to really add to what you already brought out. So, for example, like how in verse 50, I'm just going to read a little bit of it just to add to it, to connect the dots. So you just brought this up as well. And he casting away his garments rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? So he's asking him a question. Now, at that moment, we got to realize that at that moment when we know that Jesus is coming, we notice that, you know, he set aside his garments and stuff like that, you know, because you got to realize, you know, that you have to, well, if you know who Jesus is, that'll make you want to straighten up when you come to the Lord, you know, because you realize who he is and how holy he is. And I'm just adding this to that, you know, who he is and how holy he is. So in order to be in the Lord's presence, I don't even deserve to be in his presence in the first place. Let me make sure I'm okay. Let me drop this aside. So sometimes our garments can be the different things that can hold us back, or whatever our garments may be that can symbolize something for us. So sometimes we do need to, you know, toss something aside and get to the Lord, even though while we're in the process of getting help as well. We know that we're coming to the Lord for help, but we need to toss our garment aside, whatever that may be for us in our lives, our garment, toss that aside. Also, I want to add to where you were saying about his vision. Of course, his vision got restored naturally, and then you brought up that his vision got restored spiritually, because now he has a spiritual connection, because he also went to go follow after Jesus, right? So he received his sight in two ways. I just want to add on to what you're saying. So to kind of confirm what you're talking about along with vision, I got a scripture to reference. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. I'm only going to do 14. There's more that can go to it. And the word reads, this 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, the word reads, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." So we got to realize that naturally there are some people that just ain't going to get it through the flesh. We can't understand these different things through the flesh. So, yeah, you may have a natural sense of certain things, but spiritually you don't see. And that's evident here. That word discern, when we look that word up, this is what the definition of discern means: to perceive by sight or some other sense or by the intellect, to see or recognize. So this has to deal with sight. So you have to have your sight spiritually set as well. So that backs up what you're talking about. You got to have spiritual vision to be set on the Lord. So you got to understand these things of God. It says that, but the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. So naturally, with my eyes closed and not, you know, or open, I can't understand these different things. But I got to have my spiritual vision to be able to understand the things of God. Why? Because they don't work together. The flesh and the spirit do not work together. They work against each other. There's a battle going on. So I don't want to, you know, go too far into that, but I just wanted to throw that level of support out there by what you were saying as far as the vision. It is important for us to have our spiritual vision. So we got to make sure that we need to get our eyes checked up spiritually. You know, the same way you gave a testimony about, you know, you went to go get your eyes checked naturally. We got to do the same thing spiritually. And spiritually, hopefully those that are listening tonight get some restoration, be able to see things clearly and understand what they need to do and who they need to run to. You got to run to Jesus for these problems, and you got, like you say, you got to bring something to the table. Okay, so come to the Lord. Yeah, that's all I want to say.
You said a lot, and I appreciate that. You said a lot, and a lot of times we think that the physical sight is all you need. And in today's church, that's all you see is people being physical, no one being spiritual. And we lose our spiritual sight, and we're lost, and we're blind. And it's terrible to have 20/20 vision and be spiritually blind and have no concept of what the Word of God is saying. And I didn't notice this until recently, yesterday, when I was reading over this. And you know, I'm gonna keep saying it over and over. All this man was saying was, "Jesus, have mercy on me," asking for forgiveness. And it didn't say he was a holy roller. It didn't say he prayed three times a day. It didn't say he quoted a lot of scriptures. He just heard Jesus was coming. And he had enough sense to know that he couldn't go to Jesus any kind of way. He couldn't go to Jesus any kind of way. That's why he said, "Have mercy on me. Forgive me." And the same people that's trying to tell him to be quiet, it just reminds me so much of church. This man asking for forgiveness, and everyone's telling him to pipe down. And the thing that I get excited about is when Jesus said immediately he received his sight. And I hope I'm not adding to it or taking away from it, but that means spiritual, and it also means physical. He got his spiritual sight, and his physical sight, and he was able to follow Jesus. And just remember that when you go to church and you come to church, it's not about everybody else, because they hooping and hollering don't mean they holier than everybody else, because some of them is doing the same hollering and screaming, spiritually blind. And because they're spiritually blind, they keep going through the same thing over and over and over again. So it's just that important, and that's all I wanted to bring out. You know, again, it was a great day for me yesterday spiritually. I'm on cloud nine. I never had that experience before. In all my years of being in the Lord, I've heard stories, and I'm still jumping for joy. I mean, I'm calling Minister Tobert at night, excited about the Word of God and what I see, and it's a blessing because I'm not perfect, but I'm excited about the Word of God. And when you're excited about the Word of God, it brings you closer to Him. That's how you communicate with Him. And just like He touched me just that quick and stopped and stood still in my life, He can do the same thing for you in your life. You ain't got to be perfect, but you do got to come with a forgiving heart. You do got to come and take off the old garment and just come to Him. And when we say bring something to the table, we're just talking about a pure heart, a little bit of faith. It ain't a whole lot. It's not a whole lot. This man didn't have a lot of money. He was begging. He was a beggar. He was being disrespected by being called out his name. His condition was before his name. That's a form of disrespect. And yet still, he had enough sense to hear. And not just hear, but be a doer. And I think as church folks, and I'm done, I'm going to turn over to Minister Tobert for closing, but I'm done when I say what I'm about to say. When you hear the word and you do the word and you respond, He will respond in your situation, and immediately it will change. There's nothing hardcore about it. It ain't nothing super spiritual. You don't need to go get no oil. You don't need to turn around three times. You don't need to do this. You don't need to do that. All you got to do is have a sincere heart. Hear the word. Do what the word tells you to do, and Jesus will stop right there with all the chaos going around and deal with your situation. And immediately you will receive sight. And sometimes people do that, and they see things differently. You thinking that these people are good, and now you see that they're bad because Jesus giving you turned it over to Jesus. Now He's going to let you see what you couldn't see before. So that's why I can say when people come to church and they're loud, they're just loud. There's no God in that. There's no Jesus in that. That's why people are not being delivered and saved today, is because all they're doing is being loud. They're not being sincere. And you just can't come to the Lord any old kind of way. This man had enough sense to say, Lord, have mercy. Ask Him for forgiveness. And if you can't come and ask God for forgiveness for what you've been thinking, for what you've been doing, and for what you've been speaking on, God's not going to hear you. He's not going to hear you. All them people. And my question is, why didn't He hear the people telling Him to be quiet? Why didn't He address them? He wasn't even paying them no attention. But He heard that man amongst all them people telling Him to be quiet. Jesus wasn't thinking about that. Think about that for a minute. He wasn't thinking about that. And He told His disciples, go get him and bring him to me. And that's what they went and did. And my question is, who are you going to get to bring before Jesus? Bring something to the table. Minister Tobert, I'm done. It's all on you now, Bob. I hope y'all got something out of that.
All right, Elder Oliver, thank you so much for that wonderful lesson on tonight. I definitely got something out of it, and I know that before I get too far into closing or anything, I don't want to leave nobody out. Do anyone that's listening have a comment they would like to give, final remark? Trust me, your voice matters. People want to be able to hear something. So if you got something, Lord, laid it on your heart, don't hold it back. This is the time. Right before we close. Anybody on the panel that would like to say anything?
Yes, I would. Elder Oliver, I like the fact that you pointed out that, you know, he was tired. He was just tired. And sometimes we get that way. We go through stuff. God, help me do this. God, I need to do this. And we do. We get tired. And then when you finally have gotten tired, and you just can't take anymore, and as soon as you say, Lord, forgive me, even if in your mind you're like, I didn't do anything wrong, but you just, you know, say, Lord, forgive me, it just changes everything. And I can attest to that. It really does. It really does open doors, and things you couldn't see before, now you can see. Because you said a few words, the words that God has been wanting you to say, Lord, forgive me. And as soon as you say that, it's just like there's a whole new world opened up. But sometimes it takes a lot for people to actually say, Lord, forgive me, because they might not be looking at it like I did anything wrong. But as soon as we humble ourselves, God comes and says, okay, what is it that you want? So I really appreciate it. And the lesson was awesome, Elder Oliver.
All right. Thank you, Sister Ogilvy, for definitely adding
thank
something.
You.
Because your comment helps, you know, for us that are listening and, you know, the rest of everybody else, it helps. So definitely thank you for adding something to Bible study on tonight. And if there's anybody else, also, this will be the time. If not, I'll go ahead and go into closing. Elder Oliver, he did such a good job on tonight. Anybody else? All right, that'll be it. All right, like you said,
go ahead. I do got a comment. I just want to say job well done. You did a great job on tonight's lesson and the examples given as far as the living examples that you gave. I appreciate you bringing that out and, you know, letting us see with our spiritual lenses what this story is really saying. So I appreciate you for that. That's my comment.
All right, that was Sister Oliver giving a good comment about the good job that her husband just did. And thank you as well. Thank you all for the comments on today. I got on tonight, actually, like I said, all of it comes together so that we can get a better understanding. So each point of view is definitely important to be able to bring something out or bring just more encouragement to the saints and to the speaker as well. So thank you for your participation. And saints, join us on Sunday morning, 9 o'clock for service. I'm preaching this Sunday. So if you all would listen to Chaos Blog Talk or if you listen on Facebook, I'll be bringing the message. And then also after that, next Tuesday. Next Tuesday, I'll be teaching as well. So, me and Elder Oliver, we have a task
right
here. So, you ain't the only one. Yeah. So, thank you all for listening. Amen. For those that were listening, thank you all. And you know, you could have been doing a whole lot of other things, but you decided to tune in to Praise Tabernacle, Chaos Blog Talk, be able to listen, and I hope that everyone got something. I know I definitely did. And Elder Oliver, am I missing any announcement, anything else before I give a, before I close or anything? Am I missing anything?
No, I think we get into next week, but let me just say this.
Okay.
Let me just real quick. We're getting ready for our church anniversary and appreciation for our pastor that's going to be coming up in December. The tentative dates will be December 3rd, December 4th. More information will be getting out. We kind of want to not keep everything a surprise, but some of the things we just don't want the pastor or the first lady to know. So a lot of times we'll probably be sending you information through text, but we want to get everybody's mindset ready for the church anniversary and appreciation of the bishop. I just want to say this. Last year we had a certain amount. I think it was either $200 per family. This year we're going to wipe out the amount, whatever your family want to give from your heart, whether it's $20 or $100, we're not going to have an amount on it. So whatever you and your family want to give for the pastor's appreciation, that'll be fine. And the night of the banquet, you'd be able to present it before him. We don't want to single no one out, so you have your money in the envelope, and whatever you want to bless him with will be between you and the Lord, and you can just give it to him on that night. I'm sure whatever it is, it'll be appreciative. But we're not going to put a number on the envelope, and we'll be telling you more where it's going to be and how it's going to be done. And with that being said, that's the only announcement I got. Let's come out next Sunday and support Minister Tolbert, as I know he got a word for us. So let's just be there to support him. Dynamic preacher. Last time he preached, a couple Saturdays ago, the brother was on fire. I don't expect nothing but him to be more on fire on this Sunday. So let's just come out and support him on Sunday. That's all I got. And, again, thank everyone for listening. Appreciate it.
All right. God be the glory. Thank you. Hopefully everyone understand what's going on and just continue to support. Thank you all for listening. All right, and that's it. We'll get ready to close out with prayer, and we'll see y'all next time. All right. Lord Jesus, we'd like to thank you, Lord. Thank you for who you are and what you've done, Father God. Thank you for us being able to gather an understanding on tonight, Father God, about your word and about the situation that happened with Bartimaeus, Lord, and you restoring sight, Father God. And Lord, as we spoke that you're able to restore sight physically, but some of us need it spiritually, Lord, and ask that spiritually, Lord, you allow us to be able to reconnect with you or connect with you, Lord, whichever applies, Father God, to be able to just have a good relationship with you, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord. And we ask that those that are crying out, Lord, have done so privately, Lord, we ask that you would hear their prayers as well, Father God, the same way you just did it in the scripture, Lord, that those that are reaching out to you, crying out to them, crying out to you, Lord, I'm asking that you would just be there for them as well, Lord, and do the same as you've done in the scripture, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Those that are just like Bartimaeus was and casting out their garment, Lord, whatever the garment was, whatever it may represent for the next person, Lord, and they came directly to you, Lord. So asking that you would just fulfill the needs on tonight, Father God, for those that are listening, those that are having a heavy heart on tonight, Father God, asking that you would continue to bless and protect the saints, Father God. Ask that you would also restore our speaker, Father God, Lord, restore him, continue to protect him, Lord, continue to restore his sight, Lord. We thank you for that awesome testimony to know that you are still in the healing business, Father God, for now we see that your power is in working in action through us, Father God, and through your people, Father God, and allow him to continue to be a great example and continue to focus and speak the things that thus saith the Lord in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord. And we also just like to ask that you would continue to be there, Lord, continue to be a blessing, Lord. And we just like to say that we thank you, Lord. And as we get ready to dismiss, we read our Great Commission, and it reads Matthew 28, verse 19 through 20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Amen, saints. Thank you for tuning in, and we will see y'all next time. Have a blessed night.